at the time of Yeshua. When we learned Daf Yudalit in Brachos, we pointed out that Chasam Sofer in his Tshuvas is of the opinion that Halal on Chanukah is Daraisa, because we learn it out from Oz Yosha. You see that when you have a Yeshua, you have to recite the Shira Halal. So Chanukah is also. And then it's Ziv showed from the Gemara. The Gemara says on Daf Tezvav, I think, Daf Yudalit Tezvav, Halal Chanukah, the Gemara said Beferi said, it's only Medir Rabbanim. So the Netziv writes, with all due respect, he doesn't agree with the Chasam Sofer. He says, Halal is Daraisa B'Shas HaYeshua. Oz Yosha was recited on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. But every year in commemoration of Kriyas Yamsuf, that Oz Yosha, that's only the Rabbanan. But Halal B'Shas HaYeshua, that's really a Din Daraisa. Shiras B'Shalach is a Shira. It's a poem, and it has to be written in the Sefer Torah accordingly. And it's written with empty spaces. You have a pasuk and a pasuk and an empty space in the middle. And the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos, there are 24 prokim on Masech Shabbos. In the days of Tanakh, a kala would wear 24 tachshitim. So that's what the Mefarshim write, that Shabbos is a kala. We say, boi chala, boi chala. The Rabbi Yudal Nasi made the 24 tachshitim for the kala, made 24 prokim and mishnayis. Okay. I think the Malach HaShlomo writes that on the first perik. Malach HaShlomo is one of the commentaries on the mishnayis. So the in perik called Kisvei HaKodesh, the Gemara has a little bit dinim about Ksivas Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, if you write a shira the same way prose is written in the Torah, you write prose the way a shira is written, it's possible even b'di'evit. So Oz Yosher has to be written like a Shira. The last Pasuk is really a big question. Hashem Yimloch L'Yom Avod is the end of the praise that they said. And then the next Pasuk says, Kivosus para berichbo v'farosha bayam. So if you look in the Sifri Torah in the Beis Medrash, I think most of them have Kivosus para also written like a Shira with empty spaces. And the minority have it written a straight line, like prose. That seems to be a shaila that's ma'akid b'di'evit. Because the Gemara said, if you write the Sefer Torah like a shira, you write the shira like the Sefer Torah apostles b'di'evit. So this is a real shaila halacha l'maisa. But it's, I think the quote from the Vilna Gaon, he thinks that it should be written like shira. Kivosus para is part of the shira. It should be written like a shira. The Vilna Gaon was ma'orer that they should say all the haftorahs from a klaf, and they should read not only Megillas Esther, we always read from a klaf. He said even Megillas Eicha, Megillas Koheles, and Shirah Shirim, all the Megillas should be written from a klaf. So they started writing, it was expensive, so they started writing all the Megillas on a klaf, and then Haftorahs, they cost a lot of money, so they started writing a klaf. So when they wrote Megillas Koheles, the third perik, the third chapter in Koheles, starts with the 28 Itim. Eis Laledes, Veis Lamus, Then you have seven psukim, and each pasuk has four eis. Eis la ledes ve eis la mus, eis la tas ve eis la kod natua, eis la harog ve eis lirpo, eis lifrots ve eis livnos. You have 24 itim. So they traditionally write this in two columns, as if it were a shira. And we don't have any tradition, we don't have any masar that is supposed to be written like a shira. So they raised an issue, what do we gain by spending money, by having a sefer write Koheles? We're not gaining anything, because since they write it like a shira, apostles b'di'evit, because we don't have a masar that is supposed to be written like shira, so it's like reading from a printed chumash. So what do we gain by spending so much money to write it on a klaf? So the one who paskin the shaila, after the Domino Gaon died in the late 1700s, then Rabbi Balozhiner founded Balozhiner Yeshiva, in 1802. So one of the early mismachim of the Balozhin Yeshiva, who was later on the board of the Yeshiva, consisted of alumni who were prominent Rabbanim, and whenever there was an issue, there was a din Torah between who should be the Rosh Yeshiva, the Netziv, or the Beis Halevi, or later there was a din Torah whether Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik deserves to be appointed Rosh Yeshiva or not. He married the granddaughter, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So they said that it was only nepotism that he appointed his granddaughter's husband. Now Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is not right to give a shir. So the members of the board came and they said, say a shir, and they'll decide whether he's worthy of giving a shir. So Rav Soloveitchik told us that Rav Chaim started saying a shir, and then in the middle of the shir he realized that he made a mistake. And there was a Pirush HaMishnayos and Yevamos that contradicted the Chiddush that he wanted to say on the Rambam. So in the middle of the shir he stopped and he says he realized that it's wrong, and he sat down. That was the shir that was going to make or break his being Rosh Hashiva. And the members of the board decided that if the man is so honest that he sits down in the middle, and they didn't know that Pirush HaMishnayos, that he said contradicted what he had to say. So he said, this man is worthy of giving the shir. So one of the members of the board was Rabbi Yosef Lasutzke. He was a musmach, Rabbi Yosef Paimar. He was a rabbi in Slutsk. He was known as Rabbi Yosef Lasutzke. There's a boy in the yeshiva, he used to be in the shir, who was a great-grandson of his, I think, Rabbi Yosef Paimar. So he was the one who gave the psak. He said, that Gemara Masech HaShabbos that says if you wrote a shira like prose and prose like a shira, the Sefer Torah is possible, only applies to the Sefer Torah, I think, in Megillah Esther maybe also. But if you wrote a Seres Ben Yehoma, it's supposed to be in two columns. So if you wrote it like prose, then it's possible also. So I think the Gemara says that psul only applies to Sefer Torah Megillah Esther, doesn't apply to anything else, it doesn't apply to Koheles. Even if there is no Masor, that is supposed to be like that. But if he wrote it in two different columns, it would be kosher. Then they point out that when they found the Aleppo Tanakh, it was written in two columns. So apparently that's the oldest Tanakh that they have. That's supposed to be the official. The Rambam says that's what you rely on, the Aleppo Codex. So apparently that's the way it's supposed to be written. It's not that it's a mistake. Anyway, so that was Rabbi Yosef Lasalutzke said that. He said the Gemara says that only apostles in the Sefer Torah Megillah says that doesn't apostle in Koheles. In the end of Parshas Bishalach, you have the Parsha of Amalek. That's the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim. It only has 9 psukim. And Tosfos raises the issue. Every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and on a normal day when you only give 3 aliyahs, one of the 3 aliyahs has to have 4 psukim, because the sum total of the Kriyas HaTorah has to be a minimum of 10 psukim. So if you only have 9 psukim, what do you do? So the Mechaber Paskins like that opinion in the Rishonim, that you have to lay over the last pasuk twice. Ki Yerol Keis Kom Mocham L'Hashem Ba'Molek Midor Dor, you lay it over twice. And there are more paskins like by Ashkenazim, we don't lay over twice. There are more paskins like the other opinion of Tosfos, just like the Gemara says that a Haftorah on Shabbos has to have a minimum of 21 psukim. Why so? Because on Shabbos you have to have a minimum of seven aliyahs. You can make hoysofas. Every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. But 7 times 3 is 21, and Haftorah has to be mechuvin keneged the whole Kriyas HaTorah. So every Haftorah has to have a minimum of 21 psukim. However, the Gemara says, Olosechem Safu, that is the Haftorah of Tzav, I think it's the Haftorah Parsha Tzav, has less than 21 psukim. The Gemara says it's okay. Yeah. That's the Haftorah of Tzav, from Yirmiyah, Perek Zayin. So the Gemara says, that's okay, even though it has less than 21. So, because Shalom and Yonah, it finishes the whole topic in less than 21. So Tosfos says the same applies to a Kriyas HaTorah. Then on Purim, since the whole topic of Molech is completed in 9 psukim, so finished. So you don't have to lay over the 10th Pasuk again. On the Shabbos before Purim, we lay Parsha Zohar. We don't lay that. The name Parsha Zohar is where the end. That's the end of what? Kiseitze? I forgot already. That's the end of Kiseitze, the last 3 psukim in Kiseitze. So the Mogar Avam. And there are some Rishonim hold, we had a Tosfos in the beginning of the second Perek in Brochas. There are a few Rishonim hold that Parsha Zohar is a Din Daraisa. The Gemara seems to learn it out from psukim. You have to learn Parsha Zohar, Mitoch HaKsaf, and Makosher Sefer Torah. So the Magen Avraham suggests the Chiddush that if a person missed the Kriyas HaTorah on Parsha Zohar, he can be Yotzei on Purim. He should have in mind when he's laying on Purim about Amalek, so he can be Yotzei with that. Other Acharonim disagree that Parsha Zohar, there actually you have to lay what it says in Kiseitze, that says, Timcha Zecha Amalek. the tzibi that we have to wipe out Amalek. In Parshas Bishalach, it says, Moche emche zech Amon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears he will wipe out Amalek, but he doesn't instruct us, Timche zech Amalek. So other Rachmanim disagree with the Magen Avraham. They think that if you missed Parshas Zohar on Shabbos, you're not Yotze with the Kriya of Parshas Bishalach. That's a Shaila indeed. The last Pasuk has a famous comment. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta. They told me recently that one of the rabbis got up in shul on Shabbos morning, and he said, Chumash, and he said Rashi is wrong. What do you mean Rashi is wrong? Who the hell are you that Rashi is wrong? Rashi is quoting Tanoim and Amarai. Rashi does make up on his own. Rashi makes up on Diktu. So you say Rashi is wrong on Diktu, Gesundheit. Okay, also not. The Vilna Gaon would put the guy in Cherem to say that Rashi is wrong on Diktu. But to say Rashi is wrong, Rashi is always quoting Tanoim, he's quoting Gemara and Midrash and everything. The Rashi quotes from the Tanaim. Why does it say such strange expression? Ki yod al keis ko. It should say God swears by his throne. Ki yod al kisei yud kei vavkei. Why is the kisei incomplete and why is the shame yud kei vavkei incomplete? So Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, and Rashi is right. Rashi is always right. Even when Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, they didn't demolish Rashi. A lot of Rishonim agree with Rashi. I was just talking yesterday about what does it mean? So Tosfos rips apart Rashi, and most of the Rishonim agree with Rashi. There are a lot of Rashi has an unusual sheet on Malacha Shem Tzvicha B'Gufa, gigantic. Tosfos demolishes Rashi. Most of the Rishonim agree with Rashi. You can't demachavek Rashi, especially just quoting Tanoim. So the Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Why does it say Keis Ko? Because Kol Zman that Amalek Bo'elam Ein Hashem Shalem Ve'Ein Hakisei Shalem. What does that mean? Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Hakisei Shalom. So the Pasha Pshat, Ein Hakisei Shalom means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. He's the Melech HaOlam, the king over the whole world. King means that he has full control of everything. But if you have the problem of evil, you have Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Rosh V'Tovlo, you have Amalek, means the problem of evil. So it gives the mistaken impression as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is impotent, as if he doesn't have control of what's happening in the world. We don't believe that. We believe God has full control. And God is a good God, and he has the ability to intervene and stress out. Why doesn't he do anything? We believe there's only one God. If there would be a God of good and a God of evil, different gods, and each God is in control of that, we don't believe in any of those terutim. So we have a big, by us, it's a major kasha, this problem, Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Rosh V'Tovlo. How come? If it's the same God who created nature, who gave all the moral, religious, and ethical principles, how come there are contradictions? How come you have Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Rosh V'Tovlo? So the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the kasha, and all the Nevi'im asked the kasha, and all the Goyishe philosophers asked the kasha. It's a good kasha. And those who believe in Avodah Zarah is no kasha. There's more than one God. So this God is good and this God is not good. Well, you say, God does know what's happening. God doesn't care what's happening. We don't accept all the terutzim. We say, God knows and he does care and he's a good God and he can intervene. He doesn't intervene. So how can that be? So by us, it's a bigger kasha than by the Avodah Zarah. But that's what it means, Ein Hakisei Shalem. The mistaken impression that conveyed is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in full control of what's going on in the world. It means his malchus is incomplete. The melech is one who's in control. Yerushalayim is referred to as Kisei Hashem because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech over Eretz Yisrael. The Neturei Karta national anthem is Hashem Hu Malkeinu. Velo anachnu avadim dena alba medina einanu makirim einanu makirim. But it starts off the first line, everybody agrees to that. Hashem hu malkeinu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech over Eretz Yisrael. And Yerushalayim is the capital, al-pidin, Yerushalayim, before Mr. Trump designed. Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it's referred to as Kisei Hashem. So the Tzlach writes in Brochus on Daf Nun Ches, the Gemara comments on the Psukim, Luchav Shem Agdula, Vagvura, Vagteferes, Vagnetzach, Vagoid. Toward the bottom of Nun Ches Amar Aleph, the Gemara comments on that Pasuk that we say in the Psuk of the Zimra. The Marsha points out that the Mekubalim say that Pasuk lists off all of the Sheva Sfiras. Agdula, Vagvura, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, that's all the Sheva Sfiras. So the Gemara says that HaNetzach Zi Yerushalayim. So the Tzlach has an interesting comment. Rav Herzog quotes this in his Shuvos, Nehechal Yitzchak, and he elaborates upon it. that the minig is that we spell Yerushalayim when one of my, I have nine children, some of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim. She went to Eretz Yisrael after high school, she never came back. And she's still there with all of her seven children. And every year she has another baby, and she's grown up. Good. So she got married in Yerushalayim to a boy who lived in Yerushalayim. So when you write a ksuba, or you write a get, whatever, you write a document, so you write Yerushalayim chaser. The name Yerushalayim appears in, the Tzlach doesn't point this out, Rav Herzog points this out. The name Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh something like 600, over 650 times. Or they say in the Quran it only appears three times. Something like that. It never appears, something like that. But in Tanakh, the name Yerushalayim appears over 650 times. And it's always spelled chaser except for three places. One of them is in Megillas Esther. Shehaglam Yerushalayim. That's one of the three places that it's mole. And another two places, Tilim or somewhere, I forgot already. So why is Yerushalayim spelled chaser? So the Tzlach writes on Daf Nun Ches, on that Gemara, because Yerushalayim is Kisei Hashem, it's the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and calls Man Shamalik Ba'olam Eina Kisei Shalim. So it's called Keisko. It's not called Kisei. So that's why you spell Yerushalayim chaser, the second Yud. You write Yerushalayim. And then the Tzlach writes, Lasid Labai, after Amalek will be wiped out, then we will spell Yerushalayim Molek. Then it's going to be Akisei Shalem. What does it mean, Ko Ein Hashem Shalem? What does it mean, Ein Hashem Shalem? Instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei, you write Yud Kei. So we usually assume that Yud Kei is the first two letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And it's an incomplete name of Hashem. So the Menachas Chinuch has a Kasha, has a Ha'orah, not a Kasha, has a Ha'orah. There's a lava mechikas Hashem. You're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem. There is Zayin Shem, Shein Nimchokim. There's seven names of Hashem that you're not allowed to erase. If you write the Holy One, Blessed Be He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not a Shem Hashem, that's a kinui. That's a description. You write the Gracious One, the Kind One, the Baal Rachmanis, Rachmachan and Erech Apayim. That's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a kinui. But if you write one in the Zayin Shemis, that's Shein Nimchokim, that's a Shem Hashem. So the Minchas Chinuch raises an issue. When you write Yud Kei, you already have one of the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Sefer writes Vav, in a certain sense, that's Mechikas Hashem. He used to have a shame Yud Kei. Then when he adds the Vav, he just ruined the shame Yud Kei. Then he writes the final Hey, so he makes it even better. Okay, it becomes a fancier name. So he raises the possibility, maybe you should write Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards, out of order. Instead of writing in order, Yud Kei, and then writing Vav, and by writing it above, you didn't do Mechika, but you just ruined the Shem Yud Kei. Maybe you should write it out of order, so you're not ruining the Shem Yud Kei. So he quotes, there is a suggestion made by one of the Achrayim, the Pischei Tshuva Yerideya quotes this in Hilchas Ksiva Sefer Torah. We have a Mechilta that says, and the Gemara never says, but the Mechilta says that Tefillin and Mezuzah have to be written Kisidron. You have to write Shema, Shin, Mem, Ayin, Yisrael, Yud, Shin. If you have a letter is erased and you correct it later, it'll be possible in a Sefer Torah, it's kosher. But in Tefillin and Mezuzah, it'll be possible. Tefillin and Mezuzah has to be written Kisidrum. There's a Tosfos in Menachos, but Tosfos seems to not to be aware of that Mechilta. It's on the side of the Gemara. In the margin, it's on an Omid Aleph. On the side of the Gemara, they point out that the Achrayim say this Tosfos is problematic, because in Shulchan Aruch, we quote this Mechilta, that Tefillin and Mezuzah has to be written Kisidrum. Maybe the Babli doesn't hold from that. But we're Machman, that we follow that Mechilta. So some of the Achrayim came up with an Einfal, that if Tefillin and Mezuzah require Ksiva Kisidron, how can it be that Shem Hashem in a Sefer Torah is not as Chomer as Tefillin and Mezuzah? So if Tefillin and Mezuzah need Kisidron, so Shem Yudke Vavke, also probably the Shem Hashem has to be written Kisidron. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch pilpils about. Wouldn't have been better if he wouldn't write in order Yud Kei Vav. Maybe you should write backwards. But he says no. But these Achrayim say you can't write the Shaloi Kisidron. The Shem Hashem has to have all the chumras of Ksivas Tefillin and Mezuzah. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, had a suggestion in connection with this Menchas Chinuch. He thought that the Shem Yud Kei, the Rambam writes, is Miktas Min Hashem HaMefoirash. It's part of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. He didn't think that it's the first two letters. He thought it's the first and the last letter. Yud Kei Vav Kei. He said it's the first letter and the last K. And the last letter Hey. Why? He said because Yud Kei Vav Kei means Haya Haiva V'Yehiya. Which part means Haya, which part means Hova, which part means Yehiya. So usually when you have a Yud in the beginning of the word, it Osid, Yehiya. So Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Yud means Ala Asid. The Hey at the end of a word usually means Asa. It's past. And the middle two letters, a Hey Vav, is Hover. So when we have the Shem Yud Kei, it's not the first two letters of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's the first and the last letters, which means we know that God in the future will reveal himself and everyone will recognize that he's the one and only God. In the past, God revealed himself, he made Nisim and Aflos and Osus and Mopsim, and the past we know about it. The present is missing. The Hey Vav in the middle is missing. In the present, you don't see Hashem. He's a Kel Mistata, we don't see him. So that's what's missing. Ein Hashem Shalom doesn't mean that the last two letters are missing. It means the middle two letters. So when you write Yud Kei, you don't have a Shem Kor. So the whole kasha, the Menchas Chinuch, is Nishkin kasha. Menchas Chinuch is Sum, when you write Yud Kei, that's the first two letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then you write the Vav, so in a certain sense, it's a form of Mechikas Hashem. So Moshe Soloveitchik said, no, if you write Yud Kei, intending this should be the first two letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's not the Shem Kor. Shem Kor is the first and the last letter. That was the suggestion. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisei Shalom. Quite a statement. And when Amalek will be wiped out, then Hashem will be Shalom. Then Yerushalayim will be Molek. Then we will spell Yerushalayim Molek. The minig is that when we Balkuri lanes, he lanes with the trup, but here and there you don't lane with the trup. So the minigin by Ashkenazim, I don't know about this right, by Oz Yashir, you sing like a marching thing. Shir al Hashem ki goi goi sus v'rechvoi ramo v'yom. Doesn't correspond living a dead to the trup. But that's the minig. And then the minig also is that one of the psukim before Oz Yashir also lane. Dahamayim lahem choma mi minam mismaylam also doesn't correspond to the trouble. Meaning is that you sing with a marching ding. So that pasuk appears twice. Dahamayim lahem choma mi minam or mismaylam is in pasuk chobes in the beginning of Bishalach, and then it's repeated again. Where is it? In pasuk choftes. So the minig, I think, in most places is that Pasuk Choftes is closer to Oz Yashir. You have that chapter ends, chapter Yudalit. The chapters were divided by the Christians. It's not a Jewish thing. So that chapter ends in Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and then, so in other words, Pasuk Choftes ends off Amayim Lahem Chomami Minami Mismailam. So three psukim later starts Oz Yashir. So most places they sing "I'm Lime Chay Mami Minam Yismalam" with the marching niggin. They sing it the second time. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, where he came from, they were makbid. You only sing it the first time in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, not in Pasuk Chaf Tes, because the first time in Pasuk Chaf Aleph the word Chama is spelled Ches Vav Mem Hey, and the second time it's spelled Chasav Vav. And the Medrash comments why is it spelled Chasav Vav? Without a Vav, it spells the word Chema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael because when they crossed over the Yam Suf, they already brought Pesel Micha with them. They already had Avodah Zarah, and a few generations later in Eretz Yisrael, that was going to be a big Avodah Zarah, Pesel Micha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Molei Chema on Bnei Yisrael. So you're singing a nice niggin to say this marching niggin, wonderful, everything is marvelous. Yeah, but in the second pasuk it wasn't marvelous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nismali Chema al Yisrael. So it only makes sense to sing the Nigin and pasuk Chaf Aleph the first time. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to be a big stickler on all the Menhagim. So whatever Menhagim he remembered all the Menhagim. Whatever Menhagim he remembered from Europe, he would insist that they should preserve them in America as well, in his minyan. In Shiras Hayam, one of the psukim, he says, Zekeli v'anvehu aleke obi v'arei memenhu. How do you translate the word v'anvehu? Zekeli v'anvehu. So there are three interpretations. The Poshep Shat is what the Targum Unkelus says. Nove is a home. Zekeli v'anvehu, the Targum Unkelus writes. We will build him v'evgen le'beis magdusha. We will build the Beis HaMikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Anvehu. I will build a Beis HaMikdash for him. I will build a home for him. Ebnele Magdisha. Then the Gemara has another interpretation. The Avea Miloshen Noi. Noye Mitzvah. There's an Inyan of Hida Mitzvah. You should have Talis Noah and Tzitzis Noah and Tfilin Noah. Whenever you do a Mitzvah, you should be Mechabed the Mitzvah. The Medrash has such an expression, the mitzvahs are shluchim shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'shluchim shal Adam k'moisai, and if it will be mechabed the mitzvahs, which are the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if we had been mechabed him. A lot of people, they'll polish their shoes before they go on a date, but they won't polish their tefillin. The tefillin are kosher, even if you don't make it fancy. Yeah, but the tefillin is a mitzvah, you should make it here the mitzvah. A lot of people will rather wear an old yellow, gray talus that belongs in the garbage rather than spend $100 to buy a nice new talus. Hidur mitzvah. You want to show that you respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you should really show hidur mitzvah. It's only a nickel a day. If you have fancy tefillin, a fancy tzitzis, it's not so expensive. It's one shot that will cost you $100 for the hidur. But if you divide it all the time, it's just a nickel a day, a quarter a day. It's very insignificant. So that's an additional level of interpretation. The Pshuto Shal Mikra is what the Targum Onkelos says. So, Kelevi Anvehu Nove Miloshen Nove Ahom Ebnele Magdusha. But another interpretation is Anvehu, I will do Noye Mitzvah. I will be Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being Mechabed the Mitzvahs by showing Hidur Mitzvah. Rabbi Avraham Soloveitchik has a famous piece based on Gemaris. That when you do a Hidah Mitzvah, it's not a general mitzvah to be mechaber all the mitzvahs. Hidah Mitzvah, and each mitzvah enhances that particular mitzvah. The Gemara says in Sukkah, most of the yeshiva is learning Sukkah, so we're also learning Sukkah a little bit, here and there. So be able to carry on conversations with the other Talmidim. So the Gemara says in Sukkah that you shouldn't have any, Poshim Shalimah shouldn't have any chatzitzes. When you hold the lulav in the right hand, the yesuv in the left, and you shouldn't be wearing gloves, and you shouldn't have, take off your rings, it's in Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't have any chatzitza. So the Gemara says, well, you always have a chatzitza. You have the keshikol, the thing that you put the hadasim and the aravis and the lulav in. So that is always a chatzitza. The Gemara says, no, since it's kola na'oso ein achotzitz, since it's for the purpose of making noye mitzvah, we pasken that the eged is not miyakev. One Tana holds the lulav, tzarech eged, the eged is miyakev. We passing against Rabbi Yudah, the Eged is not Miyake, but Lachatchila, it's a Hidah Mitzvah, so Kelim Anveyu, the Gemara says, you should have an Eged. So the Gemara says, since you're doing it for the sake of Hidah Mitzvah, Kola Na'osa Einachotza is not considered a Chatzitza. So you see that it's considered an integral part of the Mitzvah itself. And the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, a whole discussion, one of the 24 Prokim in Shabbos, the one of the 24 Prokim is all about Bris Milo. It has the details of a Mila B'Shabbos, but it has all the dinim. Most of the dinim of Bris Mila appear in that parak. Here and there are other Gemaras that have dinim about Bris Mila and other Masechtas, but the bulk of most of the dinim, 90% of the dinim of Bris Mila are not parak in Masech HaShabbos. So the Gemara says, Mikar Adin, if the moel cuts off Basar Chayfas Roifa HaTorah, even if he leaves a miut of the Or HaOrla, so he's Yotzei the mitzvah of Mila. But you should do a nice clean job. So the Gemara says, even if you only cut off Rov, you should be mahadet to cut off the miut, to cut off the rest of the Orhol. You shouldn't do a sloppy job. So the Gemara says, what if it's Shabbos, and when you're going to cut some more, you're going to cause more bleeding. And on Shabbos, bleeding is a malacha. So mila b'zman is decha Shabbos. So you've already finished the bris mila. You've already cut off the membrane. Basar chayfes roif ha'atarah. Is he allowed to continue to be mechal Shabbos further to cut off the miut, the basa that's choy for the miut? So the Gemara says it depends if silik yoda or lo silik yoda. If the moel already put on the bandage, then he's going to have to take off the bandage and continue to cut. So that's not a hemshech of the original mitzvah. But if he didn't put on the bandage yet, he's permitted to continue to be mechal Shabbos with another act of cutting off the basa choy for miut atara, because of the din of Hidah Mitzvah. It's a Hidah Mitzvah to do a neat job, not to have the tzitzin shein makven es amila. So that's also Decha Shabbos. It brings more rayas, to this, that when you're fulfilling Hidah Mitzvah, it enhances the mitzvah itself. It's not stam, it's another mitzvah. To demonstrate Hidah Mitzvah is part of this mitzvah itself. Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, there's a Morgan Avram has a comment. Years ago, they used to write into the rabbi's contract how much money they paid him, and they used to write which aliyahs they're going to give him. So he would write, they're giving him Aseres HaDibros, and they're giving him Chazak, the last aliyah, unless he's a Kohen. He can't get Aseres HaDibros, he can't get the last aliyah. And sometimes they write in Oz Yashir, the rabbi gets Shiras Hayam. Usually the rabbanu would get Parshas Zohar, because that's a real Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. Maybe the last aliyah and Bishalach should be more important than the Shiras Hayam, because according to the Mogen Avraham, if you miss the Parshas Zohar on Shabbos, Parshas Zohar, you can be Yotzei on Purim with the last aliyah, with the last section in Bishalach. Interesting. So they used to sometimes write it in the contract that the rabbi gets Shiras Hayam. Then the Torah has the dinim of the mon. The mon came down in the midbar. So we have two mitzvahs. Most assume it's been the rabban and zechal amon. One mitzvah that we have lechem mishnah on Shabbos and Yontif. We assume the mon didn't come down. The Chumash says mon didn't come down on Shabbos. Never says explicitly Yontif, but the Gemara, the first daf in Beitzah, that based on base, the Gemara makes it absolutely clear the mon didn't fall down on Yontif either. Shabbos and Yontif, the mon didn't fall down. So that's why they instituted a mitzvah with the Rabbanah to have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos and Yontif in all of the meals. Then they instituted also on Shabbos that you have Sholosh Sudas. Why? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael the din, he tells him, Ichlu Hayom, Kishabbos Hayom Hashem, Hayom Lo Simtzuhu Basode. Because he says the word Hayom three times, so that's why they established that we should have three Sudas on Shabbos. There's one Tana, Reb Chitke, quoted in the Gemara. Reb Chitke is of the opinion, in Perkol Kisrei, Reb Chitke is of the opinion, eat three meals in the daytime, because it says Hayom three times. You have to have four meals on Shabbos, one meal Friday night, and three meals in the daytime. Some Chassidim, we don't pass like Reb Chitke, so some Chassidim are Machma like Reb Chitke, so when they have the fourth meal, so they call it Sudas Reb Chitke. That's the name of the Tana who came up with that idea. On Yontif, there's a machloikis whether you need Shabbos Sudas or not. The accepted opinion is that you don't need Sudas Shlishas. The Don Gaon quotes a Yerushalmi like that, that you only need three Sudas on Shabbos, on Yontif you don't. But Lechem Mishnah you do need, so that's a Pele, Manish Tana. Why? If everything is Zecha Laman, the Lechem Mishnah is Zecha Laman, and Shabbos Sudas is Zecha Laman, and we insist on Lechem Mishnah on Yontif, so why don't we insist on Shabbos Sudas on Yontif? That's our kasha. Reb Shlomo LeVilner, in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, talks about a kasha. It doesn't bother me, but he says he was bothered with this kasha for years. How come when you have Shabbos next to Yontif, so three portions of mon came down before? Because the mon didn't fall neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. So on Erev, whatever it is, if Yontif is on Sundays, on Erev Shabbos, if Yontif is on Fridays, on Erev Yontif, three shares of mon, three omers would fall down for each person. So why don't we insist when you have Shabbat next to Yom, that we should have Lechem Mishulosh? Why do we only have Lechem Mishnah? I don't know why it doesn't bother me, but he writes he was bothered with this kasha for years, and I don't really see that he gave a good answer. Kasha, okay, if he held the kasha was so good, then the kasha is better than the Terence. But we have a minhag that we cover over the chalas on Shabbos. So Tosfos gives three different reasons for this. So one reason is, it says in the Pasuk that there was a shikvas haptor. There was a layer of dew on the ground, and then the mon fell, and then there was another layer, shikvas haptor, on top of the mon. So the mon was covered on top and on bottom. So that's one explanation. Since we have the Lech Mishnah on Shabbos, is Zechel Amon, so we cover it with the tablecloth on the bottom and the challah cover on the top, to represent the zechet to the shikva satol that covered the man on top and on the bottom. Then there's another explanation is given that if you're going to say kiddush on wine on Friday night and on Shabbos morning, the Gemara says in Brachas, that's the perek that we're learning now, we didn't get to it yet, if you have wine and you have cake on the table, so whatever appears first in the pasuk, you should say the brachas. Eretz chita sora the geffen. So chita appears first, wheat, and geffen is the third thing. So whatever is closer to the word Eretz has kedima. So you should say Hamoitzi Hamazaynus first, rather than say Bar Piagofen first. But the Halacha says you can't eat before Kiddush. But we cover over the Chalas, not to hurt their feelings, so to speak, not to insult the challah, because the din really requires you should say Hamoitzi first, or you should say Mezainis first, because that's the chito. We cover over the challahs to get used to not insulting human beings. We know the challahs have no feelings, but we don't want to insult human beings. So we train ourselves with respect to the challahs. Yeah. And then the third reason that Tosis gives is Keiched the Tosis Suda the Yikara de Shabbata. They quote from the Shiltas. The first two reasons are agadic reasons, and the third reason is the halachic reason. We cover over the challahs because we always eat supper and we always eat breakfast. So Manishtana, what's different Shabbos? We want to demonstrate, no, Shabbos, we're bringing the meal l'kvot Shabbos. We eat different macholim. Everything is different on Shabbos. That's the l'kvot Shabbos and the oinik Shabbos. Everything is different. We have special macholim. So we cover over the food before Kiddush to demonstrate as if we're bringing the meal l'kvot Shabbos. Based on the reason that it's Zech HaLamon and you cover over on top and on bottom, you should really cover the Chalas by Shalda Shudas as well. But the Acharenim said the meaning is that by Shalda Shudas you don't bother, you don't cover. You don't cover. Before Kriyas Yamsuf, we have three psukim in a row. The yeshiva is learning Sukkah, so this is a Rashi and Sukkah on Daf Mem Hei Omer Aleph. It's printed in Rashi, but he got it from the Zohar. So how did Rashi know the Zohar? He must have gotten it from other Kabbalah Svarim, or someone smuggled it into Rashi. Maybe Rashi didn't put it. They didn't have the Rishonim, didn't have the Zohar till the days of the Ramban. So Rashi quotes that you have three psukim in a row. Each pasuk has 72 letters. It says, Vayisa Malach Hashem, where is this? Before Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayisa Malach Elokim, it's in chapter Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Tes, and Chof Aleph. First book reads, "Va'yisa Malach Elokim Aylach Bnei Machan Yisrael Yelach Machreim." Second pasuk, "Va'yobed Bnei Machan Yisrael Bnei Machan Yisrael." The third pasuk, "Va'yet Moshe Es Yoda." The Rashi there in Sukkah, it's printed in Rashi, says these three psukim each have 72 letters. So if you take the first letter of the first pasuk, the vav, the last letter of the second pasuk, called Alayla, is a hey, and the first letter of the third pasuk, that's one of the 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that have three letters. Rashi has this comment on the Mishnah. Ani Bahu Hoshiyano. What does it mean, Ani Bahu Hoshiyano? So Rashi has a few pshatim. Rashi has three pshatim. One pshat is, Ani Aleph Nun Yud, Vahu Vav Hei Vav, are two of the 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that each name consists of three letters. That's one pshat Rashi has. Then he has another two pshatim. So it's interesting that Rashi ala Torah even was aware of the Kabbalah ideas as well. Every so often there's a line in the Rambam also that the only mocker is from the Zohar. The Rambam says when you do chalitza, after the woman takes off the shoe from the right foot of the Yavam, she throws it away. The only source for that is in the Zohar. Maybe the Rambam saw it like that. Maybe he Maisim Chalyam, he saw it, he's describing what he saw. But in writing, it doesn't appear in the Gemara anymore. Just says she takes off the shoe, doesn't say she throws it away. The source for that is the Zohar. So there are things in Rashi, things in the Rambam, which have sources in Kabbalah's form. Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Bnei Yisrael that they shouldn't leave over the month till the morning, except for Shabbos. They leave over till Shabbos morning, the mon will not spoil. But the rest of the week, if they would leave over, so the mon would spoil. So if someone would leave over mon, that's oivral divrei novi, then you would be chai misa b'dei shamayim. We spoke about it, the minchas chinuch has a kasha, if there's a din, oivral divrei novi is chai misa b'dei shamayim. So whoever talks loshon hara is chai misa b'dei shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was a novi, so anything that he ever said, Moshe Rabbeinu said you have to say Kriya Shema within the Zman Kriya Shema. So is Zman Kriya Shema. So if a person wakes up late and he misses Zman Kriya Shema, it's Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim, because Oy Val Divrei Novi. Whenever you violate anything that says in the Torah, you're Oy Val Divrei Novi. It's not correct. The Gemara has a short list of Misa B'dei Shemaim. That's not, can't be. Or every mitzvah in the Torah is Oy Val Divrei Novi. So Rav Soloveitchik said the teretz, and that's the others gave different teretz, but now that's the standard teretz on the kasha. Avraham Devinavi is only if it's a hirah shor b'teres nevuah. What Moshe Rabbeinu said not to leave over month till the morning, that's all called Avraham Devinavi. That was a hirah shor. That's not a din l'teres. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said b'teres mitzvah that applies throughout all the generation, that's not called Avraham Devinavi. It's a higher level than Devinavi. It's Devinavi Torah. But that's not called the Ibrah Divrei Novi. So they were instructed not to leave over the moon. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch writes that there's a minhag chasidus to recite Parsha Salmon every day. You have it printed in a lot of Sidurim. At the end of Shacharis, you have Parsha Salmon. What's the significance of reciting Parsha Salmon? The mom was Ayurah Shor. Significance is that the Gemara says on the first daf in Tainus that we believe Parnasa is one of the gimel maftochas shel nimsur biyad shaliach. Having children is also one of the three maftochas, mafteach of yoledas, that people have babies. The Gemara says it's not a natural thing that happens by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made malachim and he made them in charge of a lot of things in the world. But there are certain things that he retained for himself. He didn't give over to the malachim. So one of them is parnasa. Parnasa is directly min Hashemayim. So we want to review that idea in our minds that we shouldn't steal, we shouldn't cheat in business from other people, and we shouldn't decide to be Mechal Shabbos to do Malach on Yantav in order to make more money. We should believe that Parnasa is Min HaShemayim, and we shouldn't think that by stealing, by cheating other people in business will make out better. The Rebbe Shalom is not going to be happy about that. So the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu told him not to leave over any money. And there were some people left over. And then the next morning, they didn't find the mon. How come they didn't find the mon? So the Medrash says that the birds came and ate it up because the birds knew what was going on and they didn't want it to look as if Moshe Rabbeinu was a liar. So the Magen Avraham quotes a minig that on Shabbos Parshas Bishal al Shabbos Shira, we throw crumbs to the birds out of Hakoras HaToiv. We want to express our gratitude to the birds because they wanted to defend Moshe Rabbeinu's integrity to show that he was telling the truth. He said, in the morning, whatever mon will be left in the morning will be ruined. And these people left over, they left mon in the middle of the night. And the birds came and ate it to defend Moshe Rabbeinu out of to express a debt of gratitude to the birds, and we feed the birds on Shabbos Bishal. So Magen Avraham is not happy about that minig, and he says there's a din in the Gemara that you're not allowed to feed animals that are hefker. If you have a farm, or if you have a pet in the house, you have fish, or you have a dog or something, or a cat, it's your responsibility. It's mezonos malacho, so then you're allowed to feed the animal. But if it's not your animal, it's not your responsibility, then the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to feed the animal. Why not? It's very unclear. It's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says because the animal is muktzah, so you're not allowed to feed muktzah. Taisa says, well, so what? So why does it make a difference in mzanos malacha and not mzanos malacha? They're both going to be muktzah. So Taisa disagrees with Rashi. Taisa thinks that it's a gzeir shem ayotzud. If you're allowed to feed the animals, the wild animals, so it's a gzeir derabbanan that you may do tzeda, and that's a malacha on Shabbos and Yontif. But it's mzanos malacha, so it's probably nitzad v'yomein. The animal is already trapped. It's your pet, or it's your, you have a barn with cows, a dairy farm. So if it's mizanos malacha, then there's no gzeir shemayot. So that's what the achrayim who come to defend the minig. Magen Avraham says the minig is not right. To feed the birds are not mizanos malacha. It's not my birds. You have an eruv in town, and I throw breadcrumbs to the birds, and that mizanos malacha should be awesome. So the later Achrayim defend the minig. They say no, because we owe a debt of gratitude to the birds, because they came to defend the kovod of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it is mizanos malacha. Once a year, we feel indebted to repay the birds, and that's called mizanos malacha. Nunu. That's what the minig is based on. We consider it mizanosim alecha. In Perek Kol Kisvei, the Gemara has these two dinim about the Lecha Mishnah and Shalvashudah. So they ran there, on the Rif, they ran quotes there Rabbeinu Tam, that even though Shalvashudah and Lecha Mishnah are mitzvah seseh shazman grama, usually women are exempt from mitzvah seseh shazman grama. We had a machlekes on Dav Chof on the base, and Brochens machlekes Rashi and Tosis. Rashi holds that that rule, women are exempt from mitzvahs. My grandma only applies to mitzvahs deraisa, it does not apply to mitzvahs derabban. And Tosafot disagrees with Rashi. He says it's not true that the pasuk applies even to mitzvahs derabbanan. That's why the Gemara has to come up with a new reason why women chayiv in mikra megillah and in hadlokas neres chanukah and arba kosis and hasebe because often hay biosanes. And if not for that special explanation, we would have said women are exempt, even though these four of hadlokas neres and so on, even though it's only with derabbanan. Women are exempt, even mitzvahs derabbanan.
What's Rashi's reason for saying that?
It's based on Psukim and Chumash. It only applies to mitzvahs deraisa. The rule only applies to mitzvahs deraisa. So Taisa says, no, called the tikkun rabbanan came deraisa tikkun. They patterned all the dinim derabbanan. They're along the same style, the same line, the dinim deraisa. So we usually assume like Taisa. So the Ran quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. We don't have any Taisa. Ran quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. The women are chayv in lecha mishneh. And women are chayv. A lot of times the husband is saying hamotzi and the wife is not even there. The wife is in the kitchen. And then by the time she comes to the table, she gets a slice of challah. So she's not yotzei lecha mishneh. She has to sit by the table when the husband says hamotzi. He shouldn't say hamotzi until everybody's sitting. And a lot of times the women don't bother to eat the shalashudas. So that's not right. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that women are chayv in shalashudas and women are chayv in lecha mishneh because apen hay biyasanes. The same reason that the Gemara has for Hadlokas Neres Chanukah and Mikra Megillah and Haseba and Arba Kosis applies to Shalvashudas and Telecha Mishnah. The women were involved also in the Nes of the Mon. The Ran quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and says he doesn't understand why did he have to give this newfangled reason. He should have said a better explanation. Because the Gemara says women are chayv in Kiddush. They're Isa. When Noshim Chayav is Bikiddush Ayam Dratar, we had it in Brachas and Dav Chof on the day. Why women chayv in Kiddush? It's a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. So the Gemara says because the two versions of what it said in Aseres Adibras. In Parshas Yisra has one version, and Parshas Vaschana has another version. So the main, there are a few discrepancies between them. But the Ramban writes, all the other discrepancies are just Lushainis. It boils down to the same thing. It's not such a big difference. We don't know what exactly it said on the Luchas, whether the first version that appears in Yisro, or the second version that appears in Baschanan, or a third version. Could be that neither. Because when the Chumash quotes what someone said, or the Chumash quotes what it said in the Luchas, it just gives you the gist of what it says. It could be that it didn't say either. But here's a contradiction between what is the gist of what it said. If it said Shomer, Shomer is Aloises. Yishomer pen v'yal is Aloises. And if it said Zohar, Zohar is an essay. So what is the gist of what it said? Is it an essay or a lois essay? So that's what the Gemara says, that Zohar v'shama b'dibur echanemem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed, what did it say in the Luchas? The Gemara doesn't say. It could be it didn't say either. It could be it didn't say Zohar v'sham, it could be it said something else. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibes, he said both simultaneously. So why did he do that stunt for? That's quite a trick, to say two things at the same time. So that's even better than a hekesh. A hekesh means if you have a pasuk, the first half of the pasuk has one, then the second half of the pasuk has another. Then, so we assume that there must be a link, must be a connection. Otherwise, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to Moshe Rabbeinu in one pasuk? Here, Zohar v'shama are not one half in the pasuk, the other half. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu said both mamish simultaneously. Mashen ha'peh yichol le'daber v'lo ha'ozin yichol le'deshma. So this certainly has a din of a hekesh. So what's the relevance? What's the significance of the hekesh of Zohar v'shama of the Ibrach HaNemru? So the Gemara says that since Shomer is a lois essay, Hisham and Pen Bial is a lois essay, and women are chayv to observe lois essay even if it happens to be a zman grama. So Zohar, the essay, also women are mechayv, despite the fact that it's a zman grama, women are mechayv. And the source for Kiddush is the pasuk Zohar, because we understand the word Zohar in Parshas Yisro, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, it doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. It means mention, lahazakir, Just like Zohar is Yasa L'cha Molek. In the end of Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, so the Gemara says, Zohar doesn't mean Balev. If all it meant was Balev, it says the last word is Lois Ishkach, don't forget. So Zohar obviously means Bepeh, means it doesn't mean remember what Amalek did, it means speak about it. Mention what Amalek did. You have to read Mitoch HaKsav. Here also Zohar Shalom Shabbos L'Kachi, you don't need Mitoch HaKsav, but you have to recite Kiddush, you have to mention it. So Zohar V'Shamer B'di Berech HaNemer means that it's one package deal. Kedusha Sayam of Shabbos is one Kedusha Sayam. So since it's relevant for the women that the Chayiv in the Mitzvah Lois Esei of Shabbos, so the Chayiv in the Mitzvah Esei as well, despite the fact that they should have been Potter, should have been a Mitzvah Esei Shazman Grama, but it's all one Kedusha Sayam. So the Ran says, what did the Rabbeinu Tam have to come up with a newfangled reason? Often Rabbi Yosanes have a better reason. Because Zohar V'Shamer B'di Berech HaNemer, everything is one package deal. So the meaning by many Hasidim is that the women didn't bother to eat Shalosh Udos. The men went to the Rebbe's dish. In fact, years ago, there was a common phenomenon that the Hasidish family in Eastern Europe, the sons would go with the father to the Rebbe's dish, and the daughters would go with the Goyish girlfriends to the movies on Shabbos afternoon. That's why the Chafetz Chaim agreed. Chafetz Chaim was originally opposed to the whole founding of the Beis Yankov. And the people who learned in Radin told us that when he went to the meeting, they were going to have a meeting of Rabbanim to discuss whether they should found the Beis Yankov or not. So he told the boys they should say Tillim, that it should not pass. The yeshiva should say Tillim because he thinks it's a terrible idea. And then they told him what's going on there. So he said, we have no choice. So he had to approve of the founding of the Beis Yankov. Yeah. So a lot of times the women didn't bother at all to have Shalosh Udos. A lot of women don't bother at all to have Lecha Mishnah. So Rabbi Shlomo Kluger lived by the Chassidim in Galicia. Shlomo Kluger, so he has a tshuva where he writes like this, how come the women don't do it? So he says, the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't give the reason of the Ran doesn't give the reason of Rabbeinu Tam. So each one disagrees with the other one. So each one shot the other one. So there's nothing left. So the women are putter from Shalosh Udos and putter for Lecha Mishnah. So Chacham Avadya says, how did he wave a magic wand over here? They both said the same thing, Allah Alamaisa. Women on Mechuim and Shalosh Udos Lecha Mishnah, each one gave a different reason. But just because he shot down his reasons, he doesn't agree with his reason. So he left with nothing. Bottom line, they both said the same thing. It's not right. The women are just as Mechuim as the men, L'chol Adeis, the Mechuim and Shalosh Udos, and the Mechuim and Lecha Mishnah. Yeah, why? What's wrong with the Rabbeinu Tam's reason? That's a question. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Chelek Arachayim, where he's Rav Soloveitchik used to say this in the name of his father. That why don't we say women are obligated to wear tefillin? Because it says the purpose of wearing tefillin, "Manti etaras Hashem efichu kebiyar chazaka otziach Hashem imitzrayim." So why don't you say "Apen hoy biyasanes"? Women should be mechuyev in tefillin. So the Chasam Sefer gives a few answers, but then the main answer that he gives, that's Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, schmaltzed it up, he said it over, even fancier. So he said there are two different things. One is Echad HaNes and one is Pesume Nisa. The only time you say women are Mechuyev, even though it's Zman Grama, because Afen Hay B'Yos HaNes, is if the nature of the mitzvah is Pesume Nisa, the Farsemus HaNes. So Mikra Megili, tell the story. Hadlokas HaNeres of Chanukah, he said HaNeres Allah Lo'anam Adlikim, he tell the story. And then on Pesach night, you tell a whole Haggadah. You don't just have Haseba and Abrakosis. You tell a CPTS Mitzrayim, a connection with the Haseba and Abrakosis. So there is Pesumi Nisa. But Tefillin is Echalanes. Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Udos is Echalanes. So it could be that whenever the mitzvah is only Echalanes, you don't apply Afen HaBiyos HaNes. How do you know, how can you tell what's the guideline? How can you tell whether any given mitzvah zechal anes of pisumi nisa? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought if you recite the bracha shas nisim lavaseinu, that's a dead giveaway that the mitzvah is pisumi nisa. So by mikra megili you say shas nisim lavaseinu, and halak neres chanukah you say shas nisim lavaseinu, and even on Pesach night you don't recite shas nisim lavaseinu in connection with haseba or abrakosis, but the rishonim say that when you say the bracha over the second cup of wine, that's the equivalent of Shas HaNisim. So basically, Pesach night, you're also saying an equivalent of Shas HaNisim. So those mitzvahs are Pesumi Nisa. But Shalvashudis and Lecha Mishnah, he can say it's Pisumi Nisa. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Oh, he's having Shalvashudis, Zechalaman. It's Zechalaman, but the people watching may not realize that it's Zechalaman. It's not Pisumi Nisa. So maybe that's the reason why the Ran didn't like the Rabbein. It's unclear whether the Ran didn't agree with the Rabbein Atam. The Rabbein Atam didn't agree with the Ran. That's what Shlomo Kluger assumes like that. Each one didn't agree with the other, and each one shot down the other one's reason, so that's why he left with nothing. That's why he's justifying why by the Hasidim the women are not makpid on the Shalashudas and not makpid on the Lechmish. So that's room to argue the point and to explain why Afen Oibes on this perhaps should not apply. Then regarding what the Ran said, Azach Vishama Bidi Brecha Nemru, it's also not so muskam. Also not so muskam. We learned the Gemara and Dav Chavav. The Gemara says that Rab Tzodish al Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos, Rab would Dav Ma'ariv early, and he would say Kiddush also before the sunset on Friday afternoon, and he would say Kiddush. If he says Kiddush, obviously in Kiddush al Malakam Suda, he started the meal. Can you be Yotze the meal before the sun sets? You eat the whole meal, and then you go strolling? Go for a walk. That's how the Trumas Adeshin describes. He used to eat the whole meal on Erev Shabbos, and they went for a walk, and the sun is still shining. So that's 2 days in Tosfos and the opening Mishnah in Arbe Psochim. Can you be yotze the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos during this man of Tosefes? Some Rishonim say no. Some Rishonim hold Tosefes Shabbos is only relevant for two dinim, only for Issa Malacha and for Kiddush. Why? Because Kiddush is linked up with Issa Malacha. Zachar v'shama b'dibrecha nemru means a local din. Shama means Shmira Shabbos, not to be Mechal Shabbos, not to do Malacha. And Zachar means Kiddush. The Rambam writes a Lashon. Some people are retired. So they live in an old age home, an assisted living facility. They don't cook. They don't wash their clothing. Someone else washes them. They don't make their bed. Someone else makes the bed. They don't lift a finger. They don't do any malachas all week long. So Shabbos, they don't do malachas, but all week long, the other 6 days, also don't do malachas. So the Rambam says, in order that it should be a shvisa hanikeres, it should be noticeable that he's abstaining from malachas because of Shabbos, not because the person is retired and he's 85 years old, 95 years old, 105 years old, and he never does new malachas all week long. So the Chachamim added on, that's how the Rambam writes a whole theory. The Rambam writes, why did he institute the prohibitions of muktzeh to make Shvisa Mavlocha into a Shvisa Hanikeres, because there are some people that don't do Malocha all week long. So it's not noticeable. So it could well be that that's what half of the Rishonim hold. Zocha V'shama B'dibrecha Nemru is a Hekish, means that there's a connection between Shvisa Mavlocha and reciting Kiddush. Reciting Kiddush is like the Brichas HaMitzvah, so to speak, on the Shvisa Mavlocha. You want to convert it into a Shvisa Hanikeres. But it's not that Zocha V'shama means all of Hilchot Shabbos are one package deal. Take it or leave it. Either everything is relevant to or nothing is relevant. The Ran understood like that. Zocha V'shama means all one Kedushas Hayom. Neither it is Mechayev you or not Mechayev you. So since women are obligated to observe the Issur Malacha, so they're obligated to observe everything else, including Shalashudas and Lecha Mishnah. But it could be that Rabbi Natam wouldn't agree with the Ran. Could be Rabbi Natam would hold that Zocha V'shama is only a restricted Hekish to link together the Issur Malacha with the Shvisa, the Issur Malacha with the reciting of Kiddush. So it could be that each one does not accept, it could be that the Rabbein Atam doesn't agree with the Ran and the Ran Taka doesn't agree. Halacha Lamaisa, they both said the same thing. But could be the Ran would not agree with the Rabbein Atam's reasoning, not that he thinks he has a better reasoning. Could be that he wouldn't agree because he can't say Afen Rabbeinu on this. There is no element of Pesumi Nisa. Could be the Rabbein Atam wouldn't hold from the Ran of the Zocha V'shama, because it could be he understood Zocha V'shama differently. Then we have the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, Shvu ish tachtov, al yetzi ish b'mkom b'yom ha-shvi. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that the Pshuta Shal Mikra means al yetzi ish b'mkom for Likitas Haman. Because when they went to collect the man, they took a bowl with them, or they took a pot with them. So there was no Erev in the Midbar. Why wasn't there an Erev? Okay. The Taina Moshe Rabbeinu, why didn't he make an Erev? Okay. Must be a good reason. But there was no Erev, so they weren't allowed to carry. So what it means, Shvu Yishtach Kval Yevze Ish Mekoma for Lekita Saman, because it's an Iser Hoitzor. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk, Al Yevze Ish Mekoma, you're not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum. Every person has a Mokom, and Alpai Mam around it is a Tchum. So Alpai Mam is a Machlokes HaTanaim. Rabbi Kiva holds Alpai Mam is Tchum in their Isa. The Gemara says we don't pass on like a Rabbi Kiva. We hold Alpai Mam is only the Rabban. But the Rif in the end of the first parak in Erevin quotes a Yerushalmi. The Gemara there at the end of the first parak in Erevin talks a little bit about Tchumen, very little. So the Rif quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi that even though we don't accept Rabbi Kiva's opinion that 1 mil, Alpai Mam is 1 mil, that Alpai Mam is their Isa, we don't accept it, but if it's Yud Beis Mil, then it could be that that is their Isa. And the Rambam, the Yerushalmi says maybe. The Rambam paskins, but Toras Vaday, the Rambam holds that's one of the 613 mitzvahs. It counts, Aloy Sesi, you're not allowed to do malocha on Shabbos. Al Yetzish Mekomi, you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. Tchumen is not one of the Lamates of his malochas. You're not chayv koris if you do, you're not chayv skila. If you do bishoygi, you go chutz l'tchum, you're not chayv chatos. It's not a malocha, it's an isa. Tchumen is an isa. The Rambam holds that the isa Tchumen is only the Raisa Yud based mill only on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, it's only the Rabban. On Yom Kippur, it's also only the Rabban. Other Rishonim disagree. The Dayan from Baghdad, what was his name? I forgot his name. He had a correspondence with the Rambam's son, Rabbi Avram ben Rambam, Rabbi Daniel HaBavli. So here, Rabbi Daniel HaBavli, most of the correspondence is published in his Sefer, Maisa Nisim. Mr. Nisim, who lived in Paris in the 1800s, paid for the publication. So the book is called Maisa Nisim. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, he never saw any Nisim in a floor, so he doesn't know why they called it Maisa Nisim. It says on the first page, why? Because Mr. Nisim paid for the publication. So they called it Maisa Nisim. So this is the correspondence between Rabbi Daniel HaBavli from Baghdad, the Dayan from Baghdad, and Rabbi Avram ben Aram, who lived in Egypt. So most of the correspondence is about Sefer HaMitzvah. So this is one of the issues that he debated with the Rambam. Why does the Rambam hold that Tchumen is only the Raisa on Shabbos? Yom Kippur has everything exactly the same as Shabbos. The Rambam holds no. Tchumen, Yom Kippur is not exactly the same. Tchumen is a side issue, so it's not from the Melochis. And on Yom Kippur and on Yom Tov, it's only the Rabban. Rabbi Daniel HaBavli thought that even on Yom Kippur it should be the Raisa. Tosfos' opinion is that even on Yom Tov is the Raisa. Tosfos talks about Tchumen, the Issa Tchumen on Yom Tov. And the Shagas Aryeh argues with Tosfos, how do they come up to say Tchumen on Yom Tov is their Issa? He doesn't even quote that the Rambam says it's only their Issa on Shabbos. So that's an issue. The Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, that Tchumen Yud Beis Mil is an Issa their Issa, and the Rambam Paskins like the Balei HaTosfos. Even Tchumen Yud Beis Mil is also only the Rabbanu. What's an Afkamina Aloch LaMaisa? So they have an Afkamina. Gemara has the suffix whether Yesh Tchumen LaMaile Me'asar. Does the din of Tchumen only apply if you're on the ground or you're walking within 10 Tvachim to the ground? What if you're flying in the air? Is there a din of Tchumen? Are you Koine Shvisa LaMaile Me'asar Tvachim? And are you in violation of Tchumen if you go LaMaile Me'asar Tvachim? So that's an Ibai Dodaev Shita in the Gemara. So the Mechaber says you can be Mekel on Alpai Mama because that's only Tchumen the Rabbanon. It's a Svek of the din in the Gemara. Teku, Teku. So the Mechaber says, but you should be machmer on Tchumen Yud Beis Mil. The Rambam says that we'll make a leave on Tchumen Yud Beis Mil, because Ashkenazim assume that all Tchumen is only the Rabban. None of the din of Tchumen is their eyes.
What case are they talking about? Flying?
They talk about Eliyahu HaNavi coming before Mashiach. The Pasuk says, "Hei nechu shalech lechem es Eliyahu HaNavi lefnei bo yom Hashem agar v'anar." Bo yom Hashem agar v'anar means the day Mashiach is going to come. That's the pasuk in the end of Malachi. Malachi was the last Navi, and they were told that Akame Yarimon Avim until Eliyahu Navi comes before Mashiach. So the Gemara assumes Eliyahu Navi may come flying in the air. So the Gemara has a suffix in Eliyahu Navi come. Eliyahu Navi is going to come the day before Mashiach. Is it possible for Eliyahu Navi to come on Shabbos and Mashiach to come on Sunday? So that's a suffix in the Gemara. Whether Yesh Tchumen LaMaile Me'asar. So that's why Matzoi Shabbos, every day we say, B'chol Yom HaKalo. Every day you wait, maybe Mashiach will come. On Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, when Eliyahu Navi is not going to come. That's what the Gemara says. Kvahuf muftach lahem lebnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a haftacha. Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, because when he comes, we're going to make a Kabbalah's panim. And Yiddish always say to be mekabel pnei Moshiach Tzidkein. And the Gemara doesn't have that. The Gemara has about to make a Kabbalah's panim for Eliyahu HaNavi, who's going to come the day before Moshiach. So the Gemara says the Jews are busy on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. They're busy preparing for Shabbos and Yontif. It's not fair to send Eliyahu HaNavi, and then we have to make a Kabbalah's panim for Eliyahu HaNavi. We're going to be busy preparing for Shabbos and Yontif. So Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, we know for sure he's not going to come. Shabbos and Yontif, we're not sure. So right away after Havdalah, we sing Eliyahu HaNavi. Maybe there's a chance that they come on Matzoy Shabbos. But on Shabbos, it's a Sveik Eredina. You see, Eliyahu HaNavi, the Geula is an important thing, but it's not going to be Mechal Shabbos to do the Geula. It's not called Pikoch Nefesh.
So what are the Mechaber Ramah talking about?
The Gemara are walking on stilts. If you're on a train and the train has wheels on the ground, and even though the floor of the train is above Asara Tvachim, that's since it's sitting on the ground, so that's considered Lamata Me Asara Tvachim. So that's not considered Lamata Me Asara Tvachim. But if you're walking on stilts, the Gemara says, that would be the Shaila of Yesh Trumin Lamata Me Asara
or
not.
Or a boat.
On a boat, yeah, on a boat, if the boat is floating, right. Right, the Gemara talks about the boat. There was a, years ago, there was a chazan in the neighborhood who was visiting in Switzerland. This is over 50 years ago. There was a chazan who was visiting in Switzerland, and then he took a plane flight on Friday, and he landed on Shabbos. And they took a photograph of him walking down. In some airports, you have to walk down a staircase. You don't walk on a... like in America. No, sometimes in America also you walk down a staircase when you get off the plane. So they took a photograph, and the photograph, the camera had the date on it, had the time of the date. It had a Shabbos Dika date. So they printed it in there's like the Jewish press in America, so they have such a... the first page is green, printed in green, in Switzerland. The Jewish newspaper that's written in Swiss German. So it made it a whole tumult. He was a chazan over here in the neighborhood. So they went for a whole dinter. The Balabatim wanted to fire him. The chazan was Machal Shabbos. He traveled on Shabbos. So whole Asik. The Torah tells that the Jewish people came to the city Mora and the water was bitter and they couldn't drink the water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yareo Hashem eitz v'yashlech al hamayim v'yimtiku hamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu he should throw a branch from a tree into the water, and the water became sweet. So the pasuk says, "Sham sam lachok mishpat, sham nisohu." HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people chok mishpat when they were in Mor. What does that mean? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the sugya b'nei noyach, the Gemara says, "B'mor nitztavu al adinim." They were given the laws of dinim. So the Gemara, what do you mean nitztavu al adinim? Dinim is from the Shevin Mitzvah b'nei noyach. Ev Menachai, Gezel, Dinim, Arayas. That's one of the Shevet Mitzvah. So what was added in Mara? So the Gemara says, Dini Knosses. The Umas Oilam, B'nai Nech, don't have Knoss. We have Kefil, Dalavahe, Oynes, and Mefatim, Otsi Shemra. The Umas Oilam only have Mom, and they don't have Knoss. This seems to contradict, perhaps, the Ramban al Torah. Ramban writes in Parshas Vayishlach. He has a dispute with the Rambam. Why did Shimon Velevi wipe out the whole city Shechem? What right did they have to kill all these people? So the Rambam writes in the Mor Nebuchim, because there's a mitzvah of dinim, the Ummah Olam have an obligation to have a legal system, a court system, and if someone violates a law, they have to bring him to court and punish him. And here, Shechem ben Hamor raped the girl, and they let him get away with it. They didn't do anything to him, because his father was the boss over there. Hamor was Nisi Haaretz. So the Rambam says they deserved the death penalty. The Gemara says, Azarasam zui misosam. When the Bnei Noach violate, Bnei Noach is chai misa for gezel, even if he steals pachas from Shavar Pruta. That's how the Gemara says, Bnei Noach nerag al pachas from Shavar Pruta. Bnei Noach violates any one of the Shevin, it's Bnei Noach is chai misa. So the Rambam holds doesn't only apply to an Aveira, it even applies to a mitzvah. Dinim, according to the Rambam, dinim means they have an obligation to set up a court system And if someone violates one of the laws, to see to it that he's brought to justice, and you have to punish him. So because they failed to bring Shechem ben Hamor to justice, they didn't do the mitzvah, says that was mutal on them, they were chayiv misa. The Rambam writes the same regarding Mila. The Gemara says that B'nai Keturah, Avraham Avinu, had Yitzchak, his son, from his wife Sarah. And then he had Yishmael from Hagar. And then he had, I think, 8 children from Keturah. Rashi and Chumash quotes the Medrash that Keturah was Hagar, the same person. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Avraham Avinu was obligated to be mal the B'nai Keturah. Even though they weren't Jewish, he was told to be Yitzchak Hazera. But still, he was mechuyev to be mal the B'nai Keturah. So Rashi learned that's it. Avraham was obligated to be mal the B'nai Keturah, and that's the end of the story. The Rambam says no. The B'nai Keturah b'zman hazeh, all those Arabs or descendants for the B'nai Keturah are obligated to continue the mitzvah of Milo. Very strange. Shakasari writes, what do you mean? All the goyim in the world only have seven mitzvah, B'nai Keturah have 8 mitzvahs, have a mitzvah of Milo. Very strange. That's the Rambam's opinion. So how do you know which Arabs are B'nai Keturah, which are not? So we don't know who's who. So the Rambam writes, therefore, Sofik deraisa l'chumra, all the Arabs are mechuyev to perform bris Milo. Because maybe they're the lucky winners, maybe they're B'nai Keturah. But since we don't know who's who, so if any given Nachri, any given Arab, who even though this is suffering, maybe he's from the B'nai Keturah, if he won't be mal himself, we won't give him the death penalty, because it's only a suffering. You don't give the death penalty me suffering. The Rambam should have said, you don't give the death penalty because he didn't violate B'kum B'yaseh. He violated a mitzvah. So you see, that's the same Rambam as by Dinam. The Rambam holds even by the B'nai Keturah. Not only if they violate, and Azar means violated an Avera, even if they violated a mitzvah sesay, they're also chai misa for them. So the Ramban has a long attack. The Rambam, the Ramban often disagrees with them, but he always writes with tremendous respect. Even if the moron rabbi wants to disagree with Rashi, he should be a little more respectful. They're so disrespectful. Everything goes together. Yeah. They don't know how to learn either. Yeah. So the Ramban disagrees, and he said that it's not correct. So the Ramban says, the people in Shechem or Chai Misa, they violated Gezel, they violated Avodah Zarah, they violated all the things, not because of the Dinim. He doesn't agree with the Ram. He says, there was Yatua, they violated all the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So that's why they were Chai Misa. So Ramban throws in a line there, that Dinim for the B'nai Noach include all the Choftalot, Ovis, and Zikim. And he gives Misholim. So that's what they ask on the Rambam. But the Gemara says the Farish that the Mora and its Tavo ala Dinim, Sham Sam Lachok on Mishpat. Mishpat means will be given Dinim, and Dinim means Knas, because Mammon was given to Ben Enoch, but Knas was not given to Ben Enoch. So that Gemara seems to contradict this Rambam. There is a Gemara in the end of Chulin in Paragid on Nashi, but the Gemara has a line that the Ben Enoch were given 30 mitzvahs. So the Mepharshim and the Gemara say they don't, I think Rashi says, he doesn't know what are the 30 mitzvahs. The whole sugya of the Sheva mitzvahs Ben Enoch and Sanhedrin, there were only Sheva mitzvahs Ben Enoch. Then the Gemara, only Sheva mitzvahs that they chayv misu for, if they azarasam zui misosam, if they violate it. Then there are a couple of more mitzvahs that they're not chayv misu for. We said the other day about grafting a branch from one tree on another tree, that's kiloy ilonis, or they have rochav harkove. So the Rambam and the Shach and Yerudei quote la locha that that applies even to B'nai Noach. That's an isa deras, but on that they're not chayiv misim. Or harboaz behemoth also. Learn that from the same pasuk. That's an isa deraisa, but on that they're not chayiv misim. Where do you get 30? Even if you add everything together, where do you get 30? So I think Rashi writes on that Gemara and Gidon Nashi. He doesn't know what the 30 are. So in the back of the Gemara, Chulin, one of the Achronim suggests, there are seven mitzvahs benach, and one of them is dinim. And dinim, the Ramban said, is chof talad ov is nazik, and 24. So 24 and 6 is 30. And higher mathematics, it's the seven mitzvahs benach, but one of them has 24 parts to it. So 24 and 6 adds up to 30. So that's very questionable. What do you mean? The Ramban wrote such a lashon. So shver Ramban. So there's a tshuvas of Ramah. The Ramah had a cousin. The Ramo was an Ashkenazi. He lived in Poland. So Ramo had a cousin who was also Maram Padua. He was a rabbi in Padua, but he was he was an Ashkenazi. He wasn't a Sfardi. So he went b'shutfus with the Nochri to print an edition of the Rambam. Then another guy printed his own edition of the Rambam. The Rambam, the Maharam Padua didn't have the copyright on the Rambam. So the other Goyish printer wanted to chapoy. So he printed his own edition of the Rambam and he sold it for less than the Maharam Padua's edition. So the Maharam Padua laid out money to print his edition of the Rambam. So he needed the Ramah to support him that the Jews shouldn't buy the other edition, they should only buy his edition. So the Ramah wrote a whole tshuva, a whole psak. It's in the Shalosh Tshuvos HaRamah. I wonder, it's a little not fair. Everybody knew that he was a cousin. Did everybody know that it was his cousin? I don't know. He didn't write that in the tshuva. He's sticking up for his cousin. He gives around 6 or 7 different reasons why you're not allowed to buy the other guy's edition of the Rambam. So one of the reasons he quotes is because the Ramban on Chumash says that the goyim have a din of dinim, and it includes aloch haftalat avos nizik. And he goes one step further. He says, what does it mean that every sif in Shulchan Aruch is binding on the goyim? And there's a sif in Shulchan Aruch that when a Talmid Chacham comes to town, let's say the Talmid Chacham sells cosmetics. And he goes door to door, he sells cosmetics. But there are other people who are ringing the doorbells also selling cosmetics. So the Gemara says, naktina leishuka. You have to let the Talmid Chacham go first, because if he's going to have that free time, he's going to sit and learn. The others are selling cosmetics, they're going to have free time, they're going to watch television, they're not going to sit and learn. So the Gemara says, naktina leishuka, you let the Talmid Chacham first sell what he has to sell, and after he sells what he has, then you let the other guy sell. So he says, since that din, that's a din because of Hazokah Satira, but it happens to be printed in Chosh HaMishpat. So the Ramah says, every single din of Chosh HaMishpat is binding on the goyim, because the Ramban of Chumash said so. All of Haftar, all of Zikin. So everything in Chosh HaMishpat. So he says, the goyim are not allowed to sell their Rambam until the Maharam Padua sells out all of his copies of the Rambam. Because that din is in Chosh HaMishpat. So there's what the dingzach. What the dingzach. Then he says, you're not allowed to have, he has another reason. Because the Gemara has a din, Al Tashkin Bo Alecha Avlo, the Gemara in Ksubis in the second parak. You're not allowed to have around the house a Sefer Sheina Muga. So the Goy's edition of the Rambam was the old edition, of the Rambam. Maharam Padua wrote Hagoyas on the Rambam. So the other edition is a Sefer Sheina Muga. So you have to, everybody has to buy the Maharam Padua. You ever look at the Hagoyas of the Maharam Padua? There's nothing there, here. Every edition has it. You look in the Rambam, this is the Rambam. On the bottom, there's one line. He gives the Maharam kindness to the tour. You can live without it. And once every 50 pages, he thinks that there's a misprint. He gives you a correction. That's called the Sefer Sheina Muga, because it's missing. These are Hagos of the Maharam Padua. Very strange Tshuvos HaRambam. Then he says that the Gemara Bab Metzia, that if a Jew and a non-Jew are selling the same merchandise, let's say the two stores, you have the A&P. The A&P is much bigger, and they sell everything for much less. And then you have the Jewish local grocer. It's a small store. The goyim don't shop there, and everything costs a little bit more. So the Gemara says, "Chisim kar mimkar la misecha, kano miyara misecha." If you're selling, you should choose to sell to a Jew. If you have a choice to sell to a Jew, to a non-Jew, sell to a Jew. Or kano miyara misecha. If you're buying, you should buy from a Jew and not buy from a non-Jew. So the Gemara says that means even if it costs a little more, to buy from the Jew. If in the course of the year it's going to add up to $1,000, so that's a lot more. But if it's going to cost a couple of pennies more here and there, so the Gemara says you have to do business with a Jew, even though it's going to cost you a little more money. So that's what he says. Even though Maharam Padua's edition of the Rambam is a little more expensive than the other guy's edition of the Rambam, but that's the din, you have to give the business to the Jew as opposed to the non-Jew. That's okay. So that reasoning is not so good, but some of the other, he gives so many reasons, it's very questionable, the whole Tshuvos HaRambam. But that's the pasuk in Morak. Yisham sam lachok hamishpat v'sham nisal. We assume that Kibbutz Avayim was given in Morak, because when Aseres Adibus are proclaimed in next week's Seder in Parshas Yisro, it says in Parshas V'aschanan, Kabir Esavicha V'semecha Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Olokecha. Kasher Tzivcha means prior to Maimon HaSinai. It doesn't mean, as I said, in the Luchos Rishonos. The Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnis had the same text. What does it mean, Kasher Tzivcha? Kibbutz Avayim was given Kodem Matan Torah. Where? There must be, the Gemara says, Kibbutz Avayim was given in Morah. Where do you see that in the Pasuk? Sham Sam Lachok HaMishpat. Sham Nisahu. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a suggestion. He says that Kibbutz Aviyim is a discussion in Achronim what the nature of the mitzvah is. Is it a mitzvah b'donam l'chaveiro? We owe a debt of gratitude to our parents because they brought us into the world and they raised us and they educated us and they diapered us and they gave us a good time. Or maybe it's a mitzvah bin adam la'makam, because the Gemara has a lashon shlosh shut from yesh ba'adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'ovi v'imo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible, so by showing kavod to the parents, that's a way indirectly to show kavod to the third shut, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's a shaila in the Minchas Chinuch and the other poskim, where the Kibbutz Aviyim is bin adam la'makam, bin adam la'chaveiro, with a few nafkaminas l'dinah. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, what do you mean? We owe a debt of gratitude to our parents. The Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Erevin that there was a debate for 2.5 years between the Bisham and the Beisham. Is it Noach L'Adam Shenivra or Noach L'Adam Shaloi Nivra? Is it better that man was brought into the world, better that man was not brought into the world? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, after 2.5 years, better that man should not have been brought into the world. So we should sue our parents in court? Well, what do you mean a debt of gratitude? It's their fault that they brought us into the world. So Taisus has on that Gemara in the end of the first paragraph in Erevin, this Gemara is maskanet, Noach L'Adam Shaloi Nivra, it's better the man should not be brought into the world. That's by a plain person. But if the person is a tzaddik, of course it's better that he was born to the world. Ashvei lo v'ashvei ledoro, it's the praises, it's his praises, the praise of the generation that such a person is alive. So what's the nature of the mitzvah Kibbutz Aviyim depends on you. If you turn out to be a good tzaddik, a very good person, then you owe a debt of gratitude to your parents. Then it's bein adam l'chaveiro. If you turn out to be nobody special, and it's noach l'adam shalei nivra, then you don't owe a debt of gratitude to your parents. You really should be able to sue them in court. They did you an avla by bringing you into the world. Then the whole mitzvah of kibbutz aviyim is only bein adam l'chaveiro. Shlosh shut from yeshbod. So that's why Rabbi Yosef Engel's mother passed away. And he put out a sefer in honor of his mother. And he called it Shev de Nechemta, seven essays of Nechemta. It's all Agada, only other Svarim Halacha. The one sefer he put out is all Kabbalah about Malchus Beis David and Mashiach and the Yisrael Count Lelavana, but all the other Svarim Halacha. And this one is all Agada. So one of the essays he writes about Kibbutz Aviyim. So he interprets in the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Kibbutz Aviyim chok u'mishpat, a mitzvah that sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat. If you turn out to be a big tzaddik, then Kibbutz Aviyim is mishpat. You owe your parents a debt of gratitude. But if you turn out to be nobody special, then it's only a chok. So the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyim is chok or mishpat. Sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat. In Haftarah, you have Shiras Devoira, similar to the Kriya. Kriya Satara is about Shiras Ayam. In Shiras Devoira, there's a fantastic pasuk. Yivchar lehim chadashim, oz lachim sharim, mogen emirai v'raymach barboi melech b'Yisrael. When I was in high school, we had to memorize Shiras Devoira by heart. So I remember that pasuk, the rest I don't remember. So the poshet pshat in the pasuk, when the Jewish people, yivchar lehim chadashim, started worshipping new avodah zarah, oz lachim sharim, God punished the Jewish people that had melchama in the cities, and they weren't prepared. Mogen emirai v'raymach barboi melech b'Yisrael, the Jewish people were not prepared. They didn't have any weapons to fight back against the goyim who had come to wage war. That's the posh pshat and the posh. So the Yalkut Shemoni has an additional level of interpretation. The whole pasuk means something different. Yivchar Elokim Chadoshim does mean Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Chidush HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidush HaTorah. When you have a good Chidush, give it into the Beis Yitzchak. He used to be one of the rabbis in Yeshiva years ago. He always used to encourage his Talmidim to write for the Beis Yitzchak. They should say Chidushim. Yivchar Elokim Chadoshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidush HaTorah. That's why the Jewish people want to make him happy. Oz Lachem Sharim, that's why we have Melchamta Shal Torah in all the yeshivas. We fight and learning in order to come up with Chidush HaTorah. The Medrash Yalkut Shemoni doesn't explain how you read the rest of the pasuk, but that's quite a fascinating additional level of interpretation. Take the word Elohim, which means Avodah Zarah, and you interpret the additional level of interpretation that means Kodesh. Yivchar Elokim Chadoshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates Chidush HaTorah. In Yiddish folklore, there are two humorous psukim in today's Sedra that they used to talk about. One pasuk is before Kriyas Yamsuf, So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem Yilochem Lachem Yatem Tacharishim. So the Pashim Pshat is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wage war for you, Milosh Mokhama, and you keep quiet. So there used to be, in Valojin, there used to be a Balabas who thought that he knew how to learn, and he used to interpret the Pshat and the Pasuk, Hashem Yilochem Lachem, God will make the bread for you, Lachem, Yatem Tacharishim, and you have to plow the ground. You have to make the Hachanas. So Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan was the son of the Netziv from his second wife. Rabbi Chaim Olin was the son of the Netziv from the first wife. And after she passed away, then he married his niece, who was significantly younger than him, who was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan. And then he had the son, Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan, was from the second wife. So Rabbi Berlin wrote a whole book in Yiddish that's available in the Hebrew from Valojin Biz Yerushalayim. He lived till after Hakamas HaMedina. He was a big Mizrahi leader. So he has this story about this Balabas, who thought he was so learned, who lived in Balojin. He used to interpret it. He gave original interpretations in Psukim. So that was one of his. Hashem Elohim, Chem, God will make the bread, but you have to plow the ground. Then there's another famous humorous in Yiddish folklore, they say over. It says that Parah came to chase after Bnei Yisrael. V'ikach shesh mi'asrecha bochur, and he came chasing after the Jewish people. So the Pashup Shad means that Parah took 600 chariots, choice chariots, and he came chasing after the Jewish people. So in Yiddish folklore they say the Pasuk means to teach you arithmetic. Beikach Shesh, if you subtract 6, Mayoz Bachur, from the word Bachur, you get Rechev. Because Bachur is how much? Reish. How much is Bachur? Reish is 200.
16.
Mayos Rechev. Rechev is how much? Rechev is 222. So if you subtract 6 from 222, then you get Bochum. You get 260. When I was a little child, that's what they used to say. Okay. I think I'm supposed to speak on Shabbos also, the Parsha of Shabbat. I've got to figure out what I'm going to say there. Good. Oh, this Shabbos, there's an entertaining speaker here, David Lichtenstein. Very learned fellow, and I think he's going to be entertaining.
Oh! Wow.
Oh!
And Mordechai is very good about putting me on the list.
Okay.
One of the things my wife
is.
His parents got in as well.
So the point is,
that I want a perspective.
I have some time.
I'll be here when I can, but in these first few weeks, I've been traveling. Thank God.
You're welcome to come.
But, like I say, considering where Robin and I, we came at some point, nothing we could do about
it. It's on video, it's on my, I
let him go the way that he felt himself. Very much thank you.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
Exactly. It's really just on the show.
But all was well, like I said, the business was sold. It took us 3 years to do it. Actually, a premium guy from Phoenix. So we're fine.